I kid you not, and I could care less to butter you guys up, but the reality is this is probably the most holistic Catholic media someone can take in and just like really be integrated and recognize there's so much of the faith being represented authentically with this, you know, wild willingness to encounter the unknown of courage. And you're just like, all right, let's go blindly into the darkness and make it fun, right? That's awesome.
Wow.
Amazing.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.
This has been the Beatitudes for our Friday show.
We're done.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, mostly gentlemen, but still some ladies out there. Welcome to the Beatitudes, a show for Christian men seeking to grow in holiness through authentic fraternity as we walk arm in arm with each other on the way to eternity. That's right. Almost a rhyme in there somewhere. Thank you for joining us. My name is Paul Kolker, and I am joined, as always, by my bro hosts, Nick Besner.
That's me.
And Jeff Scheffelbean.
That's me, Paul.
Go back and watch the Monday episode.
Oh, it was in the break that I said that Porky Pig was Catholic. We had already turned off the cameras when I lost it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to explain to these guys on accident that Porky Pig is Catholic.
Wrong.
He's a cartoon pig. I'm not sure.
But didn't you mention Porky Pig on accident when we were talking about Winnie the
right
Pooh?
Right before.
He did.
Oh, I did mention Porky. That's right.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, you were trying to say Winnie the Pooh.
You were trying to say Piglet. You said
or that's
Porky
what it was.
Pig.
That's what
Wait,
it was.
Hold on. To be honest, I was trying to say Winnie the Pooh and Porky Pig came out of my mouth. That's how far the neurons Oof. Are apart in there.
Yep. You're sleep deprived, sir.
Firing rapidly.
Well, hey. Welcome to the Friday episode.
What do you know?
You got a short recap of the end of the Monday episode.
That's right.
So, but go back and watch it. It's phenomenal. We got to learn all about our guest who's back today, Aaron Fowler, who shared his life story, which he just moved from massive detail to massive detail as if it was of no consequence. But
awesome.
It was awesome. It was a phenomenal story. So please go watch that if you haven't already. Subscribe, join us. Don't miss any of these other episodes. But we're back with Aaron Fowler to find out more about what he does for a living, because I think the exact job description was farmer who owns a pregnancy center or runs a pregnancy center. How did you say
kids.
That?
Farmer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Farmer with kids who runs a pregnancy center.
Yeah. Thanks.
Welcome back, Aaron Fowler.
Aaron Fowler.
Thanks, guys. And I'll do a little bit of a plug. So I live in Greenville, right? North Greenville. And I work here in Dallas. And that's a solid hour 15, if not an hour 45 minute commute one way. And so I consume an enormous amount of content from podcasts and from the Catholic spectrum to the political to the psychological. And I kid you not, and I could care less to butter you guys up, but the reality is this is probably the most holistic Catholic media someone can take in and just like really be integrated and recognize there's so much of the faith being represented authentically with this, you know, wild willingness to encounter the unknown of courage. And you're just like, all right, let's go blindly into the darkness and make it fun, right? That's awesome.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.
This has been the Beatitudes
yeah,
for our Friday show.
We're done. No, stick around.
Seriously, thank you. That's
looks like we made it.
And I believe it. And it's
no,
yeah,
I know you,
know, you
do.
It's really true. So
I appreciate
mean,
that's yeah.
It's important because I want people to recognize that. I want people to share that. And this is coming from someone who just, you know, I don't have a whole lot of credibility, but I lived the contemplative life and spent, you know, all day, every day for years in prayer and trying to live inside of the life of the church as a consecrated religious, you know, studying the faith with great detail. This is the thing that is needed right now.
Man, that's powerful.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, too, I think it's a testament to the fact that as hosts and founders of the show, our whole thing from day one is let's get on here. Let's just be us. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to be present and for God to work through us for whatever people need to hear. And if people have been around for multiple episodes, they get that that happens, right? It takes on many different flavors and twists and turns and even catches us off guard because we're not scripting this out, which was pretty obvious in the last show.
Go back and watch because you don't want to miss those turns.
And that's what's really popular right now is this unscripted, you know, uncurated, you know, raw and real encounter with individuals.
Well, and that is the thing, is that there's so many amazing stories within the church in general, obviously, like the universal church, but just within the particular church in Dallas. I mean, there's so many people who have gone and tried out religious life, or have gone and entered seminary for a while, or who, I mean, like my brother became a priest. You know, it's like there's so many people who have done that journey, but are also maybe just living an authentically good, holy Catholic marriage and family life, and building a business or whatever it might be. Sure. I mean, there's a lot of cool stories out there. So getting to hear that lived faith is just a beautiful thing.
We're about to hear about your journey to running this pro-life pregnancy health resource health center. I don't know, a bunch of words.
Yeah.
It's good. I want to tell y'all a story.
Okay.
I haven't told this to anybody yet. So yesterday I was at an event where I met pro-life Spider-Man. This guy is famous, especially on social media, because he climbs extremely tall buildings and structures, the Sphere in Las Vegas, buildings all over. And I mean, like, when you watch the videos, your stomach will turn. He free climbs these things, and always knowing that he's going to get arrested. It's a guarantee. You're not supposed to do this. But doing it to raise money and awareness, because he might hold up a banner or whatever. But he's raising awareness also because then people donate money, and it helps to go back to pregnancy resource centers, right? So I'm sitting there just having a conversation with him, and I said, two things. I said, what's it like at the top? You know, what's the arrest moment like? And give me these cool stories about, like, there's a lot of cops who are super cool with him because they're pro-life. But like, you know, I have to arrest you, so when we get downstairs, I'll make a big deal out of it. But that was awesome. How'd you do that? They get his autograph all the time, stuff like that, right?
Amazing.
So he's getting booked. Say it's in Oklahoma City, I think, right? He's getting booked. They put him in the car. They make a big deal. They drive him. He said the jail that he ended up in was the grossest thing he's ever seen in his life. That it was really, really bad. Mm. And he gets put into the holding pen. But this is one of these places where all the cops love him. Okay, so they put him into the holding pen, and he's going to be there for whatever number of hours. But he said it was full of gang members, and it was pretty scary. And he doesn't even know, like, which ones, you know, are they warring? Or, you know, what's their setup? And right when they kind of lock the door and he's looking, he's like, he's a small guy. He's a climber.
Yeah.
He's thinking to himself, okay, how can I invoke the spirit of St. Paul to evangelize in some way that I'm in here? That's not what I would be thinking in that moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
And right then, the guy who shuts the door and, like, kind of locks it says, hey, wait, I forgot. Can I get your autograph? And so he signs something for the guy, and the police officer or the jail dude walks off. And so all the men in the cell are like, who are you?
Yeah.
Why did that guy want your autograph? So he's like, okay. So he starts talking about what he does, why he does it.
Yeah.
Then he starts talking about life. Then he starts talking about the Gospels. Then he starts talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to these guys. And he says he goes on for hours, like 5 hours. Well, fast forward to, you know, weeks later, a phone call gets all the way through to him. And it's basically that somebody who answers calls for him got a call from a woman who said, I've been trying to track down, Mason is his name, because my boyfriend was in jail with him the other night and called me from the jail cell and said, don't have the abortion. We need to keep this baby.
Oh.
Wild. He saved a baby.
Wow.
In a jail cell.
Like, that's the gospel summed up in one sentence. Saving a child from a jail cell.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, being almost unjustly, I mean, I understand that there are trespassing laws or whatever that he's willfully.
And he was called into that the same way that, you know,
well, it's a civil disobedience sort of thing. So I understand what he's doing, and I'm not speaking against that.
Sure.
But the whole idea that he's kind of unjustly imprisoned for the sake of some other
goodness.
Life. Yeah, for some other life. It's incredible.
You get this chance to be a light to somebody who isn't getting it anywhere else but you that day, or maybe even that year. So
that whole quote, you might be the only Bible anybody ever reads, or that person ever reads. Wow.
So that kind of blew me away.
Where can you find Pro-Life Spider-Man? Is it on the web?
Yeah, I think oh my goodness.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Nicely
that
done.
Was pretty good.
Nicely done. His name was Toby. No, I don't know.
No, Peter. Peter Parker.
Peter Parker. Hey, so Parker. Not. Can you top that?
yeah. How many jail cells have you evangelized?
Yeah. This is what we do to our guests: is we bring them on, we set up an impossibly difficult story, and then we say, "Can you top that?"
Yeah. No. That is that's kind of the culture of life, you know, encapsulated in one person that impacts anything and everything the Lord has access to touch.
That's right.
So that's the philosophy, and that's the approach that we take. And so I would actually suggest that's a part of this culture the Holy Spirit inspires. And so if we can participate in that in equal degree, he just gets to do it in a really awesome way, right?
Culture of life is different than saying pro-life, or it's the same, synonymous? What do you think when you
I can dive right into that, and then maybe I could launch into what we've just been doing. So for the past several years, Birth Choice was founded back in 2009. We're 15 years old this year. So for several years, we've been considering and getting great advice from other professionals in the pro-life space, and we have changed our name. So that
15 years later.
Yeah, right. 15 years later, it goes into full effect in April 1st.
All right.
We are now Bloom Pregnancy Help Center.
Bloom
Pregnancy Help Center. All so right. Like the flowering, the fulfillment, and that feminine characteristic that doesn't say anything other than beauty, right? Mm-hmm. And so our logo is very holistic. It's complete. You know, it has the flowering. There's a lot of symbolism built into that, and it's just really the prize of the board and the staff. We asked a lot of different people that we serve what they thought, and overwhelmingly they came out with Bloom, and it fits in a lot of different places.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. One of the things that kind of goes along with changing your name is kind of revealing, what you believe and what is it that is meant by we do this thing in America with branding. And so you have to have like something that goes along with it. We just happen to do it backwards, where we started building the belief and then called it something different later. And so for the past several years, I've been just listening and observing to pro-life leaders. My team, I really shouldn't say my team because these ladies can run that thing without me. The reality is this is the Birth Choice team that's now become Bloom. And they understood something really profound. And I basically felt like God gave me the gift to put that into words and apply what they were saying and bring this quiet part out loud. And so what you're speaking to with pro-life Spider-Man is what I would like to shift. I would like to ask the whole industry, the whole movement to put their money where their mouth is and stop using the pro-life context, because in our colloquial speak, it really lends to like just an oppositional against abortion, right? You can't really start a good productive conversation if the understanding is you're in opposition, right? So we're pro-life, you're pro-choice. And that's just a play on that's not helpful. It had its place. There's understanding, like the roots of the whole movement to respond to a grave moral evil of abortion in our society. We had to do something, and it was better to do something immediately than to wait around and try to strategize, right? So you got to do something immediately. And over 50 years, we have been, as a movement, maturing by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and I'm trying to draw that and apply it to our theology and apply it to the harmony of best practices in ministry, so business practices and ministry in partnership. And the way I put that in context is the grounding principle of Bloom is recognizing how God's grace works with us. And so that is a free and abundant gift that is an opportunity to participate and unite us with God's divine providence. And so taking that theological principle of how grace operates, and there's some good distinctions between how the Western Church and the Eastern Church look at that, but really it comes down to God's grace in participation, right? When we look at that in context of an organization and company culture, we tie that into the supernatural virtue of charity and the principle of collaborative work. And so in collaboration, a lot of people look at that as we're doing something together and we're kind of moving along together, hand in hand. Whereas if you apply the supernatural and this highest virtue of charity, we actually are working for each other's good. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at the team working that way, the board working that way, the volunteers working that way, the donors looking at that, receiving that, gifting, and then you're inviting women and families into an environment of charity, that's their culture and their way of being. And if you do that, we can only uphold the kind of professionalism that we're capable of fulfilling and always growing in that. But then there's 50% of the challenge isn't something we can influence. It only comes down to God's grace. And so when someone encounters and is invited in to work with us, we look to them as partners. We're not here to save a baby from them. We're here to empower them so they may become a hero of their own story. And that allows them to recognize that there are boundaries of their own dignity that we're respecting. They may not even have known were good, that we are empowering them and truly authentically listening and reflecting back their own message to them. And in so many cases, in a crisis mindset, in a traumatic experience, on the worst day of your life, just hearing yourself is not only therapeutic, but it's the most productive way to recognize someone wants to work with you instead of tell you what to do. So it might seem like we're here to help. Here's what you need to do. Here's your options. This one's bad. This one's good. And that's what you need. Doesn't have the efficacy. You know, God can work with anything. There are stories of women choosing life in every environment that could have been a problematic environment to the best environments. But the reality is if we're going to participate with the greatest focus and efficacy based off of those principles, we're going to say, we're here to partner with you. You are the one that's going to write this story as the hero. How can we support you in that? That feels different.
Yeah, so you're describing, or at least the scripture that's hitting me as you describe that process, it's very much a road to Emmaus kind of situation where the people walking might not even recognize that it's Jesus walking with them. Mm-hmm. But he's asking these probing questions, and they're trying to turn the questions back on him and say, have you not heard, you know, are you the only person who hasn't heard what's happened in Jerusalem? And he's like, what things? Right? And obviously he's the Lord himself, and so he knows what has happened, and he's risen and he's overcome all that, but he's trying to get them past their despair, or as you described, maybe the trauma or the fear or whatever that moment is, he's trying to reach the heart in that moment.
Absolutely. You know, and they then come to know him in the breaking of the bread.
Yeah.
Right? And so at some point the Lord reveals himself.
Yes.
You talk jeez, I'm choked up. You talk about there's a big part of this is God's grace, and you don't have, it doesn't matter how professional you are, it doesn't matter how, what the experience is like in the waiting room, any of that kind of stuff. Can you talk about the extra special spiritual components of Bloom, and I specifically mean the presence of Christ in the center?
Yeah, I mean, we recognize that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith, and we have been permitted to have a tabernacle with our Lord there present. And so the staff, when before and after they encounter any of these families that we're serving, they come and pray before the Lord, and they come and give thanks and offer up. And sometimes those hit really hard. We have monthly adoration with a lot of the volunteers and supporters. We have every day at 3:00, we pray the Divine Mercy together as a devotion, and right now we are reading a Marian consecration book together through Lent. So there's a lot of the supernatural where that's a priority in really promoting and recognizing that we can and we're responsible for doing half, for being professional, mm-hmm. for being focused, for being on the top of our game. Every single woman and family deserves the top of our game, and then the Lord is going to have to do the other half.
You even have volunteers that come up there just to pray in that,
yep.
that adoration chapel, or I don't know what you actually call it when it's not exposed, but what do you call it?
Just the chapel. Yeah.
Nick and I one time were part of a 24-hour crew, and I was like, let's just meet up there. This is way before we worked together. I was like, this is cool. Why don't we go up there? I think I was going to do like the 3 a.m. The 3 to 4 a.m. Yeah. shift, then we'll go have breakfast. Well, the 4 a.m. shift didn't come, so
we're like, let's 3
just,
to
oops,
5.
Keep praying.
We got breakfast at
we could do
5
this.
Instead yeah. of at 4.
That's awesome. Wow.
But it was actually really neat. I mean, like to sit yeah. there in silence and pray with a friend and to be in a place like that is just so, well, if you've never done it, if you've never done any adoration, even if you are not a Catholic or not a practicing Catholic, go sit with the Eucharist. You'll see this on all the DCYC stuff we did with the Dallas youth. Everybody that was there was so moved by the Eucharist itself and by the adoration. And I think that moments like that were the seed planting that allow us to be sitting here at this tiny table right now. I mean,
yeah.
It's those things.
Yeah, every DCYC, that was just to reflect for a second. Like, every single high school kid we asked, like, what was an interesting or transformative thing from the, you know, it's like, adoration.
You know what else that reminds me? I spoke at the Catholic Foundation dinner this year in Dallas. I gave the introduction speech for the award winners, like 6 minutes. But it's really neat because it wasn't just like, here's these people. There's a whole video about them. You're about to learn about them. It was a chance to honor, like, saints and people who remind you and reflect back to you the lives of saints, to talk about big family, to talk about as Catholics what we're called to do in the sacraments and in loving Jesus. And it's funny because I'm not picking on anybody or any age group when I hear this, but or when I say this, but I've had so many people talk about how we need to be catechizing and bringing to the Eucharist and the truth of the Catholic Church the people that have been Catholic for 60 years. You know, the ones that it kind of just became like, it means you're going to these events and you go to Mass and you love Christ. It's not a knock. It's just not as fervent as the 16-year-old who is making decisions based on a love and a
moment of encounter.
Encounter, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting because you could say that that group is more of the quote-unquote cultural Catholic, but then we're hearing from Aaron over here about actually creating a true culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just in the sense that it's something that I'm used to, but how do we infuse our culture?
It's like the fabric of everything.
Yeah, so yeah, make it a part.
Is. The culture of life is the fabric of everything. I would even encourage the Beatitudes and Undivided Life to identify themselves as a culture of life organization because it incorporates any and all culture that is oriented towards our ultimate good.
I spoke at that collaborative of all your pro-life Catholic groups in town, and the point I tried to make there was, like, let's stop being small ball about, like, is it okay to share our benefactors? And, you know, like, some of the stuff that is so myopic that it could only exist in the next 60 days. And I was trying to paint this vision of, like, what would it be like if this collaborative of seven different Catholic pro-life groups in town was so cohesive and on a pathway of creating this culture that companies start coming to you and saying, do you have resources for how to make my company and our policies and our leadership more pro-life, even in the day-to-day parts, not just that do we support this company or that company. Those are important.
Yeah.
But I was like, how are you acting? Like, what are your policies? Do you honor a family's loss in miscarriage, or you just say, well, you know, you only got 3 days of PTO left?
Yeah, this is standard. You know, that is the groundbreaking work that is not only happening in places like Undivided Life in the Beatitudes. They're communicating these things. That's a focus that we have to encourage and motivate, validate those directions that people are taking. We've had conversations with individuals. They know it, and they're trying to figure out, how do we make it work, right? Like that's a radical mindset shift to say, all right, we need it. You know, culture of life includes all these things. It's in compensation and respecting and how, you know, life and death work in the family. What are your needs? And we gotta do our job still. All right, let's reimagine what the principles are and build from that instead of participating and taking from a social order that isn't, you know, oriented around the gospel of life.
I love every bit of that. I didn't know if you knew this beforehand, but we set up a banner. The drawstring's not working, but it was going to come down and say, Beatitudes are now a culture of life podcast.
There you go.
It's stuck up there.
We see it.
Yeah. But we are.
That's great.
Culture of life right here. I mean, Colby joined you in the show here. Little statue Colby to drive home this conversation. Is the website a new URL now that we're Bloom?
Yes. So it will be bloomphc.org.
Bloomphc.org should be up by the time this episode comes out post April 1st. I think we're probably late April. I hope people get a chance to check that out. Hey, I want to give a shout out real quick because we have been growing this base of people who are part of the Beatitudes, a culture of life podcast and movement. And we had feedback from one of our guests, Joel Stepanek, who has no relation to Chris Stepanek. They're not even the same words.
No, they're brothers. I'm convinced.
It does rhyme. Happened.
Yesterday, somebody said exactly. They're like, I know his brother. And I'm like, I'm not even saying the same words. I'm dumb, and I know those aren't the same words. And so, so anyways, all this to say, Joel got done with a parish mission, and he said a high school kid walks up to him and goes, "You were on the Beatitudes, dude. I saw you." And Joel was like, "This is amazing!" Like, he's his first time to be recognized for the Beatitudes. And so we want to give a shout out to this young man. His name is Mark, and he's in Cincinnati, Ohio. Nick and I put the pieces together. We think we know who this is because we were passing out stickers at the National Men's Conference before our first episode.
Oh, like, yeah. Like 2 days, like Saturday before the
it came
Monday.
Out. Yeah.
Like a year ago.
Correct. That's right.
Yeah. Literally.
And that kid stopped us at Mass the next day, him and his twin brother. We were on the front row and they were like showing us the sticker at Mass as they walked by.
Oh, no.
I think it's him.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, it's got to be.
Mark, we hope you'll confirm. But either way, thanks for being a Beatitude and for helping us to spread the good word. And for the rest of you, I hope you'll spread the good word just about the culture of life. I mean, Aaron is giving you food for thought, but don't just think. It's contemplative and action if you listen to the Monday show, and that's what we're called to be in this crazy world where we are the light and others, even in jail, can come to know the light through our word and through us being the living hands and feet of Christ.
Amen.
Yep. Talking out of the side of your mouth of the 1940s. Yeah.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's the source, and it's the summit. It's the Eucharist. And it's going to take you places. All right. Hey, well.
Aaron's just
coming around the track in first place.
Yes, is the gospel of life.
SNS.
Yes.
Sources of. Hey, you're a blessing to us.
Thanks,
and
guys.
You are way less Igor than you set us up to be. And
Eeyore.
That's young Frankenstein, I think you're thinking.
Yes.
Of.
Igor, but yes. Yes.
Igor, okay, yeah, I've missed that one too.
I have a hunch.
So good.
So good. All right, my friend. Check out bloomphc.org. Get involved in the culture of life. Pronounce your companies, your organizations, just like the Beatitudes, as a culture of life organization. And we'll see you at the Source and Summit for the rest of you, which is also the same thing. We will
see you in the Eucharist.
Will you drop down? The office doing accounting, or making coffee, or shoveling dirt. Well, maybe you're sick at home. Turn on the Beatitudes, the Beatitudes.
Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join us at our undersized table, subscribe to the video version of the show on YouTube by typing at, that's the symbol at, so shift and two on your keyboard, @_Beatitudes on YouTube. We'll see you there.